Welcome back to another episode of the Young Women Transform podcast. I'm Heather Risley from USAID's Office of Education.
And I'm Lindsay Wolf from Youth Power Learning.
In episode 4, we talked about the barriers that women face. If you haven't already, you might want to go back and listen to that episode before continuing with this one. In this episode, we want to switch to talking about the solutions that Safe Plan Uganda has thought of to address some of these barriers. We'll be going out to a different part of Uganda in Niatonze to see what this looks like in action. We finally arrived in Niatonze, which is a small village about an hour from Misindi, which is where we were staying before. And this is the area where there's a lot of forest, and it's where the bees are kept, and it's where the women do their beekeeping. So we're excited to be here and join a training this morning, and we'll be speaking to some of the women in the program, a chance to see the bees, and just learn a little bit more about how this program works.
The women here have very little economic opportunity outside of the small enterprises that they can start through the beekeeping program.
And now here's Lindsay speaking with Ronald.
How are you involved with identifying the young people that are involved in the training programs?
First, we came to the community leaders, most especially the church, and that's the Reverend. We created an awareness on the Reverend ran for us the campaign. We reached and people were called. There were many in number, regardless of the age, but he was more specific of the youth. When they came out, we selected. We had the criteria which would choose from the elderly and the young. So we captured their age, and of course the youth are ranging between between 15 up to 30 or 35. We also came up to bring the young who are at least 18 and above. According to law of Uganda, people are supposed to be working, are supposed to be above 18. So we said, okay, let it be 18 and below 29. So we selected majorly the young mothers. That is one of the key areas we looked at, because these are the people who are mostly affected. So we thought that if these young mothers are engaged in, it would also be a vital beneficiary for us. And then we also brought in the young men who would help in some various skills. For example, maybe in carpentry, you may find that these ladies may not be able to handle this hard work to do. So we thought of also men would also come in. And since also the workers, mentors sometimes, you know, they always say you need a knee to lean on. So we thought they would also help them.
And how has the beekeeping training benefited the beneficiaries?
Well, these are the young people who we have found at the village level without any skills. They were rotating around. Most of them were in the houses. So when we came up with beekeeping, most of the areas affected is sugarcane plantations. If you look at the nature of the bees, these are simple insects. We don't require much time, that you always go like early in the morning, maybe be there a whole day. These are insects which require the wee hours. Maybe when everyone is at rest, you can get 30 minutes, go check on your boxes, and then come back. So we looked at a project that can be done by these young people, most especially the mothers, that won't make them feel exhausted. Because once you have installed your box, your beehive box, it is much easier to inspect with the other safety gears. You find that these people love the job, and it's something simple compared to maybe going to the garden. Maybe you have the kid is disturbing you. So it is kind of a project or a business that is simple to manage, but again with high value, because honey has a lot of value. and it has a high market, and it is medicinal. You would find that most of these young people, they don't have the money to go to the hospitals. But if they get this honey is something medicinal. If maybe you have cough, flu, those are things which affect their babies. So if by a spoonful take one, it is something that you'll be gaining from, whereby we are avoiding the other expenditure in terms of treatment and also living a better life. At the same time, if the person harvests, sells the honey, to always find that person at her place.
In addition to the beekeeping training, are there other services you've provided the young people that have benefited them?
Yes, we train them in business skills. Most of them were doing their simple businesses, but they didn't know how to plan for them. They didn't know how to do simple savings. They lacked some of other skills, for example, group savings, whereby if they would make their money, maybe go to the market, sell their cassava flour, you would find that it is very hard for them where to put money. And since they have hostile husbands, definitely they would come, pick the little they have gathered from the market, take them away from those people. But when we came up, we say that if these people start saving in a group, at least every Friday, the market is always on Thursday. So if every Friday they come and put that they have saved to the group, no one will be able to access, because the group is a bit strict and has some governing laws. So we found it wise that let them come, sell, remain the little they have acquired from the market, then save it. So that was a business skill which helped them. Actually, they're even loving it so much to avoid the dangers of people taking their money. And then another skill we train them is leadership. Most of them lacked communication skills, lacked how to handle each other's. You know, with leadership is something that is, we always believe that it comes from God. But before, or maybe someone, if not told or maybe not informed on how you can lead the others, it always be hard. So we train them in leadership skills, mostly which would help them gain confidence, both at home and even at the market levels, and how they work with their customers. So you find that even in the group we created, we emphasize that let the leaders come within themselves. So in the Wobi project, these are the same people who are leading themselves so that they can look at the success of their program.
The Bodongo Women Bee Enterprises Program is SafePlan's signature activity recognized by USAID's Young Women Transform Prize. The program trains primarily young women, as well as a few young men, in how to keep bees and harvest honey for use in herbal cough syrup.
And we're off to see the bees. We are going through this grassy field right now. There's a lot of small structures, homes around the area, and as we understand it, it's been a bit challenging finding land where they can put the bee structures. So they've kind of had to space them out on different family plots rather than sort of having them all together. So they're trying to work out a partnership with the National Forestry Unit to use some of the government land to house these bees so that the women have a space to do their beekeeping. So we are traveling with a bunch of the women right now to go check them out.
They've been very kind to us. He offered us about 4 trees to cut and make timber so that we can have a startup of the beehives.
This is Daniel speaking. He's been leading us through the various sites where the bee aviaries are located. You'll hear him interviewing many of the women in the village throughout some of this next part of the episode. Many of the women here don't speak English, so you'll also hear a little bit of their voices, but then you'll hear Paulina, one of the SafePlan staff, doing some translation.
So we contributed some little money together with the trainees, the beneficiaries, and the trees were cut down and split into timbers. We have a number of them. We are expecting more than 20 boxes, from the timbers he donated to us. We have produced about 7 with the little resources we have, and he's continuing with the work. This big type of beehive is called Kenya Top Bar. It originated from Kenya, abbreviated as KTB. These are the top bars where the bees make their hives and put the honey. So there is one side this way, and then the other side where they can lower the hives, then they can make the honey from there. So since she started, how has the life changed for her?
That what she has seen and changed her life, how to put beehives, and even have made for them beehives and have placed in their sites.
Okay, does she remember any 2 or 3 things which she has liked that she has learned from the Buobe project?
She learned about empowerment, how youths are supposed to be empowered.
Okay, we identified this site. It has a lot of support of the parent. The parent identified this place so that the girl can put here, and we are very happy that he's even allowing the neighbors so that they can use this site to put their beehives.
So it's the parents who are supportive of the women?
Yes,
and they have allowed them to use their land because they don't own the land.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. So that one was very important to us, and he's the very person who gave us the trees. So we expect about more than 50 hives here, which I'll have in lines. Some of the trees which are like these ones are going to be removed, and we leave only those ones that we prefer. They are good, like coffee and lucina and so on. So about 3 people are going to put their hives here to start with, so that the project can kick off.
And do many of the women have to travel far to get to the beehives, or are they established very close to their homes?
Yeah, that is a good question. From the start of the project, those were one of the hiccups in the program, because they have a bit of challenges getting land. So sometimes they are located long distant places is a bit of a challenge to them. So with the support of the staff coordinator who is going around to really identify site where these people are going to put the hives, we kind of guide them that, you know, it is the most appropriate place to put the hive because of security, easy management, and so on. But like we are still wishing, God willing, if we have expanded, we may have a community approach, so that we can, as we are trying to strike a deal with the National Forest Authority, they can allocate about 5-10 hectares so that people have a communal way of farming bees. Each one would have his 50-20 and so on, so that the issue of land can be sorted by the forest reserve we already have.
This is Lindsay here walking through Niantonze, viewing some of the apiary sites and the beehives. We were here in this exact same spot a few months ago when they were preparing the apiary sites, and we just got to see some hives placed at the site. So it's really exciting to see this progress coming together.
I guess you can't have a podcast in a rural village without a screaming goat, huh? Okay, seriously, here's Lindsay.
Beyond the beekeeping skills, they also provide entrepreneurship training and basic financial management, communication skills, leadership, and functional literacy. SafePlan staff say that as a result of their involvement in the program, the young women are becoming more confident and willing to express their opinions. Like the young men participating in the carpentry training program, the young women of Buobe are encouraged to take a leadership role in their community and train others to start their own businesses. We met many of the women who said this program is changing their lives for the better.
I'm a businesswoman, whereby I got a knowledge from SafePlan, whereby they taught us how to save. Long time ago, I did not have that knowledge because I was doing my business minus saving, which was bad. Right now, I have the knowledge about saving, whereby you can use another one you save for future plan.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Can you introduce yourself and say your name?
By name, I'm called Badar Agnes.
Nice to meet you. Why do you come to this program and what is the biggest benefit for you?
I come to this program to learn about more many things and to do other knowledge in this program. As me, I'm a businesswoman and to buy a produce. So when I'm doing my business without learning, I've not make any other records. But now we are in safe plan. We do and we keep records and we start saving the money for the business.
We heard from the women of Buobe that the training provided them not just the technical skills related to beekeeping, but also the soft skills of self-efficacy, or awareness of one's potential, along with critical thinking skills that are key to their empowerment. These skills have been identified in research as crucial for positive cross-sectoral youth outcomes. And now, over to Heather for her conversation with Daniel and Annette.
I noticed when we were at the sites that where the beehives are, what I really noticed was the way that there were many different interconnected activities that the Buobe program provides to women and other community members. That was a very holistic approach. So I saw that when we were viewing the beehives, it wasn't just about the beekeeping. You were also looking at planting other varieties of plants and products around the beehive that supported the business and the fertilization and the quality of the honey that would be produced, and then the variety and different types of skills training that you were providing from not just how to do beekeeping and how to do financial management, but also in leadership skills and in savings programs. So I was very struck by the number of different services and skills that this program provides to support in a more holistic way a variety of different income-generating options that the community can have. So would one of you like to speak more about your approach to providing those opportunities for women in particular when the employment opportunities are so few?
You have mentioned a holistic approach, and I want to emphasize that we are using what we call a four-dimensional approach to address the challenges these communities face. They have already mentioned they are immigrants, and we have also mentioned about the sugarcane. The sugarcane is consuming most of the land and leaving little or no land for agricultural activity. Now, if there is little or no land and the women do not have enough rights to claim that I want to plant here maybe food crop, it becomes a bit of a challenge. So our four-dimensional approach is we are looking at how do we protect the environment, how do we increase the income of the women, then how do we associate them, how do we put them together in the society, and then how do we bring in social services so that it improves the living condition of the people around.
Planting trees, also it was a driving force to convince or to make a partnership with the National Forest Authority to allow these women hang their hives as they participate in other activities. For example, because it will not take it is a low intensive economic activity. It is different from other agriculture activities like growing beans, growing crops, whereby that you have to put your hives there. It is a matter of keep on supervising once in a while as you participate in other productive activities like modern agriculture, saving groups, and so on.
If a youth knows how to produce an item, he also needs to know how to market. He also needs to know how to keep his proper record so that he stands a better chance of being supported. Most funders, banks, and all other people who really want to support enterprises growing need the proper record, need really a proper track of what you are doing, so for them to better understand that you really understand what you are doing. So
And now the newly introduced technology, we are trying to work on the improving honey to produce herbal syrup. It is really a venture that we want the young people to get into, so because it will create a lot of business, job opportunity for them. A number of them will be in the process of producing the honey, packaging, branding, marketing, and so on. So those are skills that we need to impart in them. Hands-on training, entrepreneurship, and then leadership so that they can become responsible people in the community.
Well, thanks to you both. I think you've really illustrated the point of this sheer number of activities that you're thinking about and wanting to make sure that they all align and sort of support each other. So I really appreciate that. Thank you. So, Lindsay, that was a really great day. I really felt like I learned a lot from seeing the sites and really hearing from the women themselves. I'd like to take a little bit more time now to focus on our own reflections from today and what we've learned about some of the solutions that can address the barriers that we identified in the last episode. Do you have any reflections on that you want to share?
Yes, I've really enjoyed seeing SafePlan progress through this project. The solutions implemented by SafePlan are cross-sectoral and responsive to the realities of life for the young women of Niantonze, the majority of whom are young mothers. The Bowobe training and beekeeping approach to income generation adds value to the honey production, and the women's cooperative provides access to the market. And they are working with local partners, such as the National Forest Authority, to ensure the success and sustainability of the activities.
While it was clear from visits to the bee sites, they still have a few months to go before they can actually see honey being harvested, it's obvious that a lot of the benefits from the training and the work that they've already done is benefiting the youth in this rural community who otherwise, it's clear, don't have very many other opportunities to earn any kind of meaningful income or have goals, really. And I certainly was struck by just the amount of enthusiasm that the youth expressed around the potential for what this program can do and the changes that it can make in their lives. So while the effort is still in its relatively early stages, many of the youth expressed their plans for what could be if this program is able to continue and more people become involved in the program. So it was really exciting just to see the potential and the excitement among these youth and to see USAID's commitment and our presence there and our support for what they're doing. It was really inspiring. Next episode, we're going to be addressing the topic of youth engagement. While much of the SafePlan Uganda focuses on young women, they also recognize the importance of including men in the conversation, as they are also critical in changing the culture so that young women have equal opportunities. We'll also be learning about the story of Simon and Peter, two young men who are participating in the Bowobe program who are changing their lives for the better. Remember, you can always learn more at the following websites: youthpower.org or educationlinks at www.edu-links.org. If you haven't already, remember to subscribe to this podcast in your favorite podcast app.